Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 2nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I had to say that first because I'm surprised how fast the first went. Or, if you're on the West Coast, November the 1st. And I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network. I got to spend 2 hours there today talking about a new report that I got on the contents or the ingredients in the chemtrails seen around the world. And these are all toxic amounts. With my guest tonight, hopefully we're going to be able to tackle a little bit of this, open that up for continued discussion. There was a tremendous amount of interest in this information, and with great reason. I did quite a bit of research, and when one looks at the elements and the fact that they're all being released into the atmosphere in toxic amounts, then these elements, which are primarily heavy metals, with the exception of red blood cells, white blood cells, and three very dangerous types of bacteria, it's quite obvious that these elements aren't intended to supplement our diets, if you get my meaning. So we're going to talk about that, but my guest tonight has something very important that he wants to share, very timely, considering that depending on where you are in the United States, currently it's either tomorrow or today that you're going to be voting the bums out of office. And we're talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C. in particular. My guest tonight is a regular Monday night guest. He hosts his own radio show on the microeffect.com. And the show was called The Story Behind the Story. He is a naturopath and a PhD. So he knows what he's talking about. He's also an author, journalist, and even a musician like myself. And I'm proud to have him as a friend and a fellow researcher and collaborator on a lot of really interesting false flag events over the past year. My good friend and hopefully yours, Dr. A. Chua. True, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. I wish I could have heard your show tonight today with Drew. I usually listen in on Mondays, but I was in meetings and trying to keep my business up and running and keeping it going.
Oh, I hear you.
And so it's a full-time job. I'm working harder than I've ever worked and making much less. That's a constant refrain.
I know. If you need help, let me know. I'm looking for a similar position. I know you have something else that you want to talk about, and I sort of hinted at the end of Drew's show that we might talk a little bit about this stuff, maybe at in the second half of the show tonight. We can
surely
get into this topic. I think you're going to find it interesting, to say the least. And I did some very speedy research because this is something that I requested, noticing that chemtrails look very different from how they looked a few weeks ago, and that that portends that there are other elements being used or other quantities of certain elements, and it's pretty disturbing when you see what it does to the immune system, nervous system, digestive system, and how carcinogenic some of these elements are. So,
well, my main question on the subject, Don, is how do you quantify, the contents of the chemtrails? How are they being analyzed, basically?
Well, I'll answer that question, although that could be answered in the next part of the discussion.
Sure.
But I can answer it. I'm not afraid. I talked about it on Drew's show. I put out a request to the United Galactic Federation since they informed us that they were mitigating chemtrails. They were neutralizing them as fast as they could. They have 1,000 ships around the planet doing this 24/7. And, of course, they're under attack from malevolent forces. They get into some skirmishes with the Greys and the Reptilians on a regular basis. And their technology and their weaponry is 1,000 years ahead of those that are attacking them, but they still have to deal with these attacks. They're not out looking for a fight. They're going around the planet looking for ways that they can help us. And they have been helping people in Haiti and China and the Ukraine, other parts of the world. Even here in the United States, they've been helping people. Now, everyone doesn't see this happen. Of course, a lot of people don't see chemtrails either. So what do you expect? But I figured, well, if they're mitigating this, if they're eliminating them and neutralizing them, then they have to know what's in them. And yes, every time they encounter a chemtrail, before they mitigate it, they test it. They test what the elements are, so they know what they have to do. It only makes sense. It would be like the treatment that a doctor would give his patient after diagnosing the illness, if he had the intention of not just drugging him and masking the disease or masking the symptoms, but actually affecting a cure. So on that basis, it took a couple of weeks for me to get the information. I had heard that lithium was being sprayed on us in very, very toxic amounts. And then I got a whole list of extremely toxic amounts being put in the current chemtrails. And it makes sense why they have somewhat changed color. Some are still white, but I've seen some darker ones that have different anomalies, anything from a gray, a very dark gray color, or a steel blue gray, or even a grayish green kind of color. And it all has to do with what's in the chemtrails. And this isn't a uniform mixture being sprayed all around the planet. Almost every area they encounter has different amounts of these ingredients. It's almost like there's some mad scientist just improvising the recipe, if you want to call it that. So
I see.
That's how I got the information, and they're going to give us more updates. We do have a right to know. If we're being poisoned, we have a right to know what they're trying to do. We don't have to be sitting ducks.
Okay, very good. That answers that question, and that makes sense. I was just wondering if somebody with our finite abilities we're trying to somehow graph those. It needs some pretty sophisticated technology, it would seem, to be able to graph those and to find out. I sent on to our contact this, I had a listener to my show send me this little write-up on the Star Nations. I thought that was interesting, so I forwarded it on to you. As well as our friend Jeremiah. Have not heard back a response yet. I imagine he's seeing what he can answer.
It's not the same group that's being described, first of all.
Okay.
From my experience is there's not a whole lot of truth in that document. But it sounds good. You know, it reads real nice.
Oh, it sounds good. It's a nice warm and fuzzy feeling, but the symbols of the photos, this is Dr. Boylan, Richard Boylan, and according with the Dakota Sioux had to say about it is kind of interesting. But, the universal laws and the spiritual laws, so-called 1111, I mean, what's wrong with those? No, I mean, it's not really even new agey. Number one is free will, freedom of man. kind of the thing that drives what would be called the Federation, really. You need just the self-determination is top on the list. And so, I mean, there's, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, well, the name
concept.
Yeah, the name Star Nations is kind of a giveaway. I mean, these are planets. You know, they're not just nations. That term's been out there for a long time, and none of those people have been identified as to where they come from, how long they've been here, why they're here, other than, you know, the stories that come out. I'm not saying that those are not worthwhile pursuits. And I'm not saying that the Indian shaman or chief that they talk to get, bring that message forth wasn't telling the truth. But why not have the people from the Star Nations tell you that?
James, well, why not? Yeah.
Best source. You know, I suppose I could call, if he was still alive, I could call up Captain Kangaroo and ask what he thought, you know. I'm not saying that to belittle it. I'm just saying you can ask anyone.
Was Captain Kangaroo from a star system?
he was from somewhere. Anybody that had a friend named Mr. Green Jeans, you know.
Well, I had green jeans once, but that's because I never changed my underwear. Sorry, that was bad.
Well, anyway, you know, I don't. It's not my intention to belittle the statement. It's just that there have been a lot of those out there, those types of statements, and they change with the winds, you know. So anyway, that's my input. But you know, maybe our friend will have something else to say. But he knows the same thing I know on that, so don't be surprised.
All right, I just pass it on. People send it to me, wanting to know if it's the same. I don't know. So
the listening audience is it right now. What are they talking about?
What did that? No, we need to talk. Focus, though. I think tonight on the vote results coming in tonight on the East Coast. Tomorrow night on the West Coast, that's the, you know, the upcoming elections, critical day, I think, tomorrow, but especially when you look at the post I sent out, my sources again on Capitol Hill in D.C. put this out as a warning, and I really am amazed this has not gotten more notoriety, Don, in the Tea Party movement. I don't know why the so-called champions of the Tea Party, the Ron Pauls, haven't been screaming this, because I had to do my own research to find that. I had to go to the Library of Congress and print out and then read the 15 pages of the bill, because I was given a heads up by my friend in D.C. House Resolution 4646. Ladies and gentlemen, take notes of this. H.R. 4646. Do your own research. You can go into the Library of Congress, print it out like I did, take 15 pages or so and read it. The short title of this proposed bill is, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, called Debt-Free America Act. Debt-Free America Act. Debt-free, and it's a way that the Obama administration and the ruling Democrats, the Pelosi's and Barney Franks, think they can fix things by taxing the heck out of your wallet. Ladies and gentlemen, what it is, it's a 1% transaction fee of that will be robbing your bank accounts. If you think this was going to pass on the heels of this doggone ridiculous socialized medicine bill, they better think again. Here's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. I kid you not, H.R. 4646 is probably the most socialistic thing that could ever even dream up. If you deposit, let's say you get paid from doing a job of your contract, let's say you get paid $5,000 for your job. You deposit cash the check, or even if it's a payroll check, whatever. $5,000 goes into your checking account or even your savings account. Immediately upon cashing that check, bingo, 1% goes immediately to the feds, Washington, D.C., as a tax. This is done automatically by the banking by the bank, drafting it and wiring it in. So $5,000, 1% is $50 transaction fee. Any check that you write, ladies and gentlemen, or cash withdrawal at the ATM, whatever, every time you write a check, bingo, 1% is taken away and sent to Washington. Can you believe that?
So you write a check for $5,000 and they take $50 out again.
That's right.
So that's just 2% tax right there.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Well, this page 9 of the bill, H.R. 4646, states that the House and the Senate shall convene on this to debate no later than November 23rd of 2010. Page 11 states that it's critical and vote on the passage of this shall occur no later than December 23rd, 2010. The same December 23rd that the infamous bill passage on, right before the Christmas holiday was passed on the Federal Reserve going through. It reeks. This thing absolutely reeks. I think it's like it's not been debated at all in the elections. It's not. I think it's like it's a silent submarine torpedo, frankly. The sponsor of the bill is introduced by Democratic Representative Peter DeFazio from Oregon, and our wonderful Democrat from Iowa, Senator Tom Harkin. It is now in committee. It won't be brought out at all to be discussed until, again, the day of November 23rd, well after, again, the elections tomorrow. You got to let people know, ladies and gentlemen, that this is absolutely ridiculous. We're talking about all financial institutions, Don, banks, credit unions, savings and loans, whatever, et cetera. Well, any deposit.
That would include transactions that you made at the post office, too.
Mm-hmm. Any deposits you make or move around within your account, transfers from one bank account to another, everything will have a 1% tax surcharge. If your paycheck or Social Security, if you're on a fixed income, ladies and gentlemen, whatever direct deposit is, no matter what, wired in, bingo, 1% federal tax charge. If you hand carry a check in to cash it, if you take a, you take a $5,000 check in to cash the check, you get $4,950 back. Absolutely socialist in the extreme now.
Now, whose account do you think that's going to go into? Do they say? It's so corrupt.
I remember hearing the narcissist in chief declaring that if you make under $250,000 a year, if you're one of the blue collar, low income people struggling to make a living in America, he said you will not see one penny of new tax. I heard the liar in chief say that. Did you not, Don?
Mm-hmm.
And so his Democratic team, and him in particular, are very much behind this one. Now, I've talked to some people around Utah, and Utah's pretty doggone conservative, as you know, kind of the hotbed of Tea Party activity. And a lot of people are upset about this because they didn't know a thing about it. They asked their Senator or Representative Chavez for one, and he hadn't even heard about this thing. I can't hardly believe that.
We've been talking about it for weeks.
Well, we have, but these idiots called our representatives either claim selective ignorance or they just don't read anything. They just go in there and then vote party lines, perhaps. But some liberal Democrats are all for this. They say, well, we've got to balance the budget, get America debt-free. This is a great way to churn up some billions more in balanced budget taxes. And then besides, it's only 1%
Oh, it's
only 1%.
This myth of balancing the budget. They've never had a balanced budget. It's always been a debt system. Well, let's say since 1913, you know, with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. Definitely.
And so 1%, it may begin that way, but make no mistake, when the camel gets his nose in the tent, away you go. I mean, when they first began the income tax, it was what, 2%, 3%? Now, look, it's upwards of 40 to 50%, depending on your brackets. So, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then to top that off, Don, I don't know if you happened to listen to my show last Wednesday. I had Clint Richardson on, and he just put the finishing touches on his production, his DVD called Corporation Nation. And again, I want you to listen to that if you have a chance. It's now posted on YouTube. Just go to YouTube on the search engine of YouTube and type Corporation Nation. You can watch the thing in its entirety, and I really recommend you do so, at least the first 15 minutes of it. It's quite lengthy. It's a three-hour documentary, but he's done a fantastic job. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple things that you'll find in that incredible presentation. The comprehensive annual financial reports are there. The federal government has a CAFR. The Federal Reserve has a comprehensive annual financial report that is audited. So all this garbage that Ron Paul and others, we gotta audit or audit the Fed. We gotta have some financial accountability. It's all there. They've had a comprehensive annual financial report and had an audit of that since their inception. So that's all bogus. And it's all right there for you to see in dollars and cents how much money they make and how much profit they make for their corporation stockholders. It's all there. And what's so amazing about all of this, Don, is the budget is smoke and mirrors. The budget of the federal government, the budget of the state governments, the budget of cities, of states like California that say they're in the red. No, no, no. The CAFR tells a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
And what, yeah, it's just amazing when you really get into it. The retirement funds of California educators, for just one example, shows the incredible amount of government money that is used to purchase controlling interest in major blue chip stocks. When you add up all CAFRs, 186,000 government entities with black ink and huge amount of unreported income they're playing with in the stock market. It's bizarre.
It's in the trillions.
They control the Fortune 500 blocks of stock completely. So to say that Microsoft is publicly owned, no. They are government owned. 89% of their stock is owned by government CAFR investment groups.
Yeah, and Bill Gates is a billionaire for keeping his mouth shut about it, basically. Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, and that's what I commented on with Clint is what is stunning to me, Don, is if you really dig into the NSA, and really what their job is, a small portion of it is really tracking Al-Qaeda and everything else. The rest of it is to corporate Fortune 500 clients, giving them intelligence on other corporations around the world. That's what they do. They have a terrific Fortune 500 profit center going on. And I've always wondered, why a quasi-governmental agency like the National Security Agency is making money hand over fist with corporate contacts.
Well, the CIA is doing the same thing. They've got over 6,000 corporations, which are shell corporations.
Well, that's the reason, because they own the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're trying to pad our own nest and make our own investments profitable. And here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. There doesn't need to be a single new cent of taxes. There doesn't need to be a 1% transaction tax. None of this needs to happen when you really analyze, as Clint Richardson has done, the CAFRs.
Mm-hmm.
And holy mackerel, this government is completely self-sufficient and generating.
Yeah, I caught probably the last 40 or 45 minutes of that broadcast, but I found myself agreeing with everything he was saying. And
he's a great researcher, and I just really advise anybody and everybody listening to this show to get a handle on that. And if you have questions or problems, email him. There's a contact list. You know, his contact is there. He has taken the complex issue of the CAFR, I believe, and just broken down into simple, easy to understand terms. It's something that I think we need to focus on big time, and especially when.
I was just going to say, and that's been Walter Burian's research for a number of years now, and everybody said he was crazy, but. Oh, he's telling
Walter Burian, I've met him for the first time there at the Axiom Conference. I've talked to him on the phone a few times, but I never really had a chance to really meet him. My impression of Walter Burian is he's a genius in so many areas of financial accountability, financial transactions. His resume is amazing, and is, you know, where he's been in corporate America before. So the problem with Walter, in my opinion, is he speaks like a PhD physicist. And that's just the way his mind works. He's brilliant, but the average Joe Blow on the street. They just get lulled to sleep. I think it's boring, and they think they know there's something there, but they can't grasp it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had him on the show, and I have to say I was able to get him to sort of come down a couple of notches for us regular folks, so we could understand these concepts. And we went bank by bank through the lists. How many trillions of dollars? And it's pretty amazing. And these are the banks we're bailing out. Come on, this is just an excuse to garner some more cash to play with. That's all.
And these government agencies, federal, state, local, they're all just right up to the pig trough of the derivatives. They're right there. Almost every single one has banked in the derivatives with the top five giant banks. That is dangerous, mm-hmm. Absolutely dangerous.
Yeah,
to speculate that way.
And then they're selling the collateral, which is what, a bond. It's being sold to these foreign countries, foreign governments, foreign banks, and they're worthless. They know they're gonna. Hit bottom, or they already have hit bottom. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then they got the larger institutions like the state of California, the California Educators Retirement Fund. All of these, they're investing tremendous amounts of U.S. dollars as so-called hedge funds in foreign currencies. They're just investing into like the Chinese yen, the British pound, all these. They're heavily diversified in all this across the board. Now, again, that's money that's not really staying in America and working for America. And that's a problem to me as well.
Yeah, I think you mean the Japanese yen and the Chinese yuan.
Yuan. It's all foreign to me, and it should remain that way. But it just is out of control, really. Investments are fine and well, but not with public money, and not
privately.
privately done, and who's the people that are making these decisions? The other thing that I brought up with Clint is the uniformity of all of these CAFRs are like they must have a school of CAFR accountability because it's all the same format and they seem to go right in the same investment pools.
Mm-hmm.
Who is doing all this? Is there a core group of people that are making all this happen and keeping it, separate from the budget? Even your elected officials, both at the county, state, federal, and local levels, Don, they don't have a clue on the actual CAFR. It's the budget that they're worried about. They just have to keep raising tax money and increasing revenues while not really looking at what they really have to work with, it would seem to me.
In my town, the city council doesn't even know the meaning or the reason for the gold fringe on the American flag. And I asked that question on TV, and they all turned around to look at the flag. They didn't even realize it was there.
Mm-hmm.
Shrug shoulders and shake their head no. From side.
Oh, it's just pretty. It's just a pretty, pretty thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how can you expect them to have a handle on what's really going on when they don't know something as basic as that?
Right.
That's the point. Well, you wanted to talk a little bit about the short-legged Mac Daddy. As I want to bring us back to the topic if I can.
This all ties into that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Today I received this report. It was actually released on Halloween yesterday. Dr. Sam Vaknin, V-A-K-N-I-N, Vaknin. He declares that he is, of course, not a licensed mental health professional. And he says, quote, "Still, I have dedicated the last 12 years of my life to the study of personality disorders in general and the narcissistic personality disorder, so-called NPD, in particular. I have authored 9 books about these topics, one of which is a Barnes & Noble bestseller titled Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. My work is widely cited in scholarly tomes and publications and in the media. My books and the content of my website are based on correspondence since 1996 with hundreds of people suffering from narcissistic personality disorder and with thousands of their family members, friends, therapists, and colleagues." The article that he's posted is called "The Day Barack Obama Narcissist Snaps and Loses It." What a title. And the basic threat of this is that he shows the symptomology of the Mac Daddy, and that in his clinical narcissistic personality disorder, he calls him a pernicious and all-pervasive mental health problem. It says, quote, "By now this has become accepted wisdom. Obama is being labeled narcissist by both pundits and licensed mental health practitioners alike." He writes, "Now that Obama is experiencing defeats and setbacks and is subjected to acrimonious criticism and disagreement even among his own rank and file, this malignant narcissism has frightening implications. The front put up by the narcissist is penetrated only in times of great crises that threaten the narcissist's ability to obtain what he calls narcissistic supply. The narcissist then falls apart in a process of disintegration known as decompensation. These dynamic forces render him paralyzed and show his vulnerabilities, weaknesses, and fears, and go, and et cetera, et cetera. Exposes himself as completely dysfunctional. Now, this goes along with what I reported on again last week, ladies and gentlemen, with my guests. There's a group in Washington, D.C., Lyndon LaRouche's Political Action Committee group, that are doing their best to expose this. The story behind the story is that the closest staff members are seeing this exact thing, the self-destruction. Now, what's amazing, Don, is this is a man who has his finger on the nuclear stockpile. This is the man we're trusting with our safety and as our commander in chief.
Don't forget he has the red phone too.
Right.
I guess maybe it's pink now. Who knows? But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there that this game is being played all over the planet. Now, most countries know what's going on here. The population of the United States, however, is to a large extent very ignorant about this. And I remember this article that Sam Vaknin wrote in 2008. He tackled this very subject, in fact, mm-hmm. and on the basis of what he observed. I think it came out just before my first article on the Three Stooges Go to Washington, somewhere around that time. I had already been looking at that, and I had to agree with what he said. He's right on point. And I think he referenced Webster Tarpley's work also, which mm-hmm. plays into that. And I think Tarpley wrote that alone. It was the Bush unauthorized biography that he and Anton Chaykin wrote.
Yeah, Anton was my guest, and he explained this whole thing coming out. And this draws parallel exactly what Dr. Vaknin is saying. It's just another second witness to all this. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so what do we do about it? That's the question.
Well, you know, that's what part of the military's duty is. You know, if you have someone who's acting irrationally and wants to, let's say, for example, he said, well, I think it's time to press the button, you know, and he gives the order. Do they just blindly follow it, knowing that it's insane? I've heard a lot of people in the military say that they can't follow the orders of someone who appears to be unstable. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. He goes on to say, and this is what's happening, but Anton Chaykin said is going on behind the scenes. The narcissist goes into what he calls a schizoid model. He isolates himself, becomes a hermit in the kingdom of his hurt. He minimizes his social interactions and uses messengers to communicate with the outside. Devoid of energy, the narcissist can no longer pretend to succumb to social conventions. His former compliance gives way to open withdrawal, a rebellion of sorts. Smiles are then transformed to frowns. Courtesy becomes rudeness. Emphasized etiquette is used as a weapon, an outlet of aggression, an act of violence. The narcissist then, blinded by pain, seeks to restore his balance to take another sip of the narcissistic nectar. In this quest, the narcissist turns both to and upon those nearest to him. His real attitude emerges. For him, his dearest and nearest are nothing but tools, one-dimensional instruments of gratification, sources of supply or pimps of such supply, catering only to his narcissistic lusts. And this is very frightening, really, to know that this is what's happening to this guy in the White House.
Is it possible that he's uncomfortable with his puppethood? You know, I mean, you can't be in that position and not know that everyone else is calling the shots. But he's got to give a front to the public. So what does he do? He goes out and speaks, and he gives a bunch of empty, meaningless political diatribes. I don't know what you would call them, which seems to court a lot of resentment from those that see this as an opportunity to shout out, "You're a liar," or, you know, and which is true. He has a following. He likes to surround himself with people who are willing to stand up and fight for his cause without stating what his cause is, without honestly stating right. what his cause is. Does that fit the narcissist model in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's why he would rent over 500 hotel or 500 rooms in the Taj Mahal, and I guess just to be totally surrounded, that there can't be anyone to stand up against him. You know.
Yeah, right.
Even to say an unkind word. Well.
Well, why would Rahm Emanuel leave what's arguably the most important post? I mean, he's the second in command, basically, as chief of staff. Why would he leave that post to go back and try to become mayor of Chicago?
Well, if I were to I would think that he had lost what little power he had, just because that little power means a whole lot to somebody that doesn't have any. Really. You know, it's one thing to put on a public persona, but it's another to actually have the power. And I think we agree that he's not calling the shots. Someone else is.
Right.
And they might as well put Rahm Emanuel somewhere before the whole thing falls apart so he can try to get, you know, into Chicago. So they have that connection there.
Well, even without him losing his brain trust and his, you know, people that are, you know, look at him as the man with the Superman cape, when his 4 years is over, what does he do then? I mean, under the narcissistic model, the bubble stage,
yeah.
He'll do whatever it takes to keep the narcissistic supply of energy coming into him.
Who's benefited from that brain trust in the first 2 years? Or it's not even 2 years yet. But, who, right. You know, I think there's your answer right there. Whoever's benefited is it on some level calling the shots.
Right.
Oil companies, pharmaceutical companies, banks, insurance companies. Who else is there?
Well, if Anton Chaykin was correct, and I believe he's right on with his other analysis, and he combined that narcissistic personality with clinical depression, he's taking these SRI inhibitors. What's that going to do to the situation? Compounding the Prozac structures with that. It's amazing, isn't it?
God forbid he should come upon a chemtrail with what they're putting in there. You know? Yeah, you're making a very valid point. People don't seem to really desire to go there and consider that. You know?
Right.
Yeah, some of us are. I mean, we've been talking about these things. You know, we got change, okay? They never said if it was going to be positive or negative change. Everybody just assumed change was what the corruption was going to stop. No, we got more corruption. There's no doubt about it. We have, and could we actually have more corruption? Well, they're creating more vehicles for more corruption. So, yeah, we have more corruption. Are they handling, are they actually trying to solve any of the nation's problems, which they created? No. It's not their intention to do that. So why do people still hold on to that that fallacy or that, you know, that hope, that promise? That was another word they used all the time during the campaign. That word hope and security. Well, you know, that word security is the mechanism through which they perpetrate the fraud in the banking system. Securities, just make it plural. Nothing secure about them.
And so here's the Democratic agenda with House Resolution 4646. My goodness, if America really understood what they're planning with this, there would be a revolution. I mean, this is how long do they think they can keep this secret? Do they just think they can pass it in the dead of night on December 23rd and then just have people go into their bank and bank statements to see why they've been pickpocketed? What are they thinking?
Well, and we have short memories. I recall Ross Perot describing a great sucking sound. You remember that?
Surely. Uh-huh.
I don't do a great Ross Perot. I need to practice him a little, but
not many. You had to get a squeaky voice in there and wiggle your ears a little bit.
I was wiggling them, but I almost lost the headphones, so I had to stop.
Okay, I see. I see.
No, but that was his famous phrase. You know, Washington. You know, everything's falling apart when you hear that great big sucking sound. You know.
And back in sucking sound. Well, that's it's not a sucking sound. It's a toilet flushing, really.
Yeah.
It's like the old Archie Bunker, All in the Family, you know. Flush the toilet and you hear it all through the house.
Well, so. Well, what else would you like to talk about? I have the feeling that we've covered this for now.
Again, it goes back into again the Kafir topic. Mm-hmm. You really, as you get into Clint's DVD and really start dissecting it and seeing how the pension funds all curtail into it, I have to ask, what about the Social Security Administration? What about, you know, said that Social Security will not survive. There's just not enough funds coming in, yada, yada, yada. Well, that's not what the CAFR is showing. What's going on that people are lying so blatantly about the financial condition of this country?
Mm-hmm. Now, the CAFR report is published by the General Accounting Office. Is that not correct, as I recall?
Yeah, for the federal government, yes.
Yeah. So it's an accessible document, and anyone that would like to read it, I know Walter Burian has that on his website. I have to look up that web address. There I opened my mouth, and I didn't have the information ready. But I believe it's
CAFR1.
Or CAFR1.com, is it? Or right. .org? Well, let me check it here. .com. Yeah. CAFR1, the numeral 1.com.
And just Google up, again, Corporation Nation. Clint has his own website. I'm not sure exactly what the address is. Corporation Nation DVD. And you get his website there. And he's working quite closely with Walter Burian on the content of that. And it's been, I think it's very well done. It's an eye opener, no doubt about it. The first part of the DVD, he has a videotape confrontation with him and the General Accounting Office. I forget his name right off the top of my head, but he's
Mr.
he's
green jeans. No.
He's there talking to the public on the invite of Senator Orrin Hatch, and he visits Utah. And Clint just approaches him and starts talking about the corporate structure of government, and he flat out says, "Well, government's not a corporate structure." Unbelievable. Sure it is. The Internal Revenue Service is a private corporation. The cities and states are incorporated. And the question I asked Clint is, and I asked this to the general public, you really can't have a corporation without at least one stockholder. By definition, corporation is a structure for profit. I mean, that's what it's there for, is to generate profit for and on behalf of one or more stockholders. So if you have, let's say, the state of Ohio where you live, it's incorporated. The CAFR is based on a corporate structure. Who then is benefiting from all of the revenue, both property taxes, sales tax, whatever tax, the fines, the penalties for speeding or whatever, what have you. All of these things are typically result in black ink. Yeah. Who gets the profit?
Those are supposed to be going into the cities and towns general fund for operating expenses, but they end up in these trust pools that I've been talking about, you see?
Well, I submit, Don, it's simply that you trace the corporate ownership back. It goes back to the Crown of England, I submit. The property tax revenues, I traced this back quite a few years ago. I was running a campaign. I was running for county commissioner when I was really young and naive and involved in local politics on the Republican level. And so I went into the county recorder, the county assessor, and the auditor, and I said, okay, let's mark these dollar bills and see where they go. Well, okay, you got whatever the property tax is. Let's say it's $10,000. I was shocked to find out that a third of it, $33,333, goes to the county of origin, the local or the local government to run and operate. Another third goes to the state, but the other third goes to a federal account. And this account is, I traced it back to the British Commonwealth of the Virgin Islands, for heaven's sakes. Well, it means it goes to the British Crown, ultimately. Wow. And I traced that going back. This is what the definition of a mill levy is. The property taxes, or the term is mill levy. But you ask the recorder, who may come up with the name mill levy? What does it mean? They don't know. They look at me and says, does it matter? It's just called a mill levy. Well, yeah, it matters, ladies and gentlemen. A mill, M-I-L, is, by definition, 1/1,000th of a British pound. It's a levy of a British taxation system.
Yeah, the French word has two L's and an E on the end, mia. Same word, same principle. So
yeah, it's a foreign tax. Nothing to do with a dollar for a structure. It's the British pound sterling, for heaven's sakes.
Now, does that go through the Depository Trust Credit Corporation in New York City prior to being divvied up? Or do you?
I tracked it back to the ultimate area. I mean, I just asking a lot of questions and became very unpopular. But yeah, I don't remember. It's been quite a few years back. But it did go through a clearinghouse, and it was meant to be like a federal thing. But really, digging deep into that, it did come to the British Virgin Islands. And by the way, when your Social Security number is retired upon death.
It goes to Barack Obama.
The death certificate and all the death records are again held at the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah, except for a handful, couple hands full that are being used. Of course, this is not, he's not the only one doing that. And I'm not joking now. I mean, this is serious business. A big aspect of this whole thing is identity theft.
Yeah. So you look at all of that, and that when we're given a number, the Social Security number actually correlates with a corporate entity. You know, each person has a corporate structure. Again, a for-profit for the people at the top of the food chain, which my research shows it's the British Crown.
And their agents.
We are nothing but vassals of the Rothschild, which is the power behind the throne. Let's see. Goes back to, again, what Abraham Lincoln finally understood in the second or third year of the Civil War. He finally figured out, I submit, who was pulling the strings to finance both sides, both the federal government and the Confederacy, and really who was set to benefit. And following, you know, his execution, his assassination by British agents, the loss of a loyal title, clear title where you own it without any encumbrances or taxes, became a thing of the past. The mill levies were instituted to pay for war reparations, debt expenses for the Civil War, Don. Mm-hmm. And it's like this H.R. 4646. It started, you know, just to pay a war debt, but it's never stopped. The mill.
You got cap and trade on top of that. So is that yet another pretext? More transactions, right?
Have you ever seen a mill levy increase to build a new school or a new civil sewer plant or whatever? Once that bond is retired, you ever see the mill levy drop? Ever?
Oh, no. We have to keep this levy going here. This keeps the college, the community college in a town.
It's always something. One bond is retired, another one is taken on. Well, we need another mill levy increase. It just keeps on and on upwards. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Yes.
Oh, so let's take 1% of all of our bank transactions on top of all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True, before we close out the show here, we have two callers. What I'm seeing, we have two people on the same line. I don't know. There must be maybe.
A multiple personality, probably.
Yeah, I guess we can take one call here before the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Chris and Bill in Idaho, is that who we have on the air here?
Yes, good evening, Don. Thanks so very much for your broadcast. Very informative, as usual. I have Chris Sinkley with us, on your broadcast network there with you and Dr. Ott. We really miss you over at Republic, or at least there are some of us that miss you over at Republic.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, well, we miss you guys. We miss you guys, too. I guess we needed more networks that actually were putting out the truth. Chris Hinckley, you've been a guest on my show. I'd love to have you back on, by the way. You've been doing a great job.
We'll have to do that again sometime soon. It would be an honor and a pleasure. It's always fun. I think we have good interplay.
Yeah. We've done some great shows, and I've gotten a lot of requests over the past year and a half from people, and you've been really busy. Your show sort of ends right at the time mine starts, but we played tag before. We can do it again. So.
Yeah, I think we do it pretty well.
Yeah.
Though I was hoping that maybe we could throw out a little, I don't know, maybe a dovetail, something that kind of plays well with the CAFR discussion, and that's what's happening at the G20 summit in Seoul this month on the 11th and 12th, and that's the adoption of the Basel III framework, basically, this new set of, you know, failed guidelines that are going to be adopted at the G20 summit. And I keep saying that, to me, the thing that is particularly unsettling, and I think odious is probably a good word, is that if you go over to the G30's website, group30.org, they basically are bragging, in my words, about the fact that the Obama administration's directives, financial regulatory reform directives, and what's happening at this month's G20 summit draw directly from the G30 report from last January titled Financial Reform, a Framework for Financial Stability. And that report was attributed to four guys. It was a steering committee chaired by Paul Volcker. The other three names are internationalists that no one's ever heard of, at least not in America. And this is a report authored by or attributed to four individuals. Volcker is one of them, none of whom have ever been voted for, obviously, by the common electorate. And these are the financial regulatory directives that are being adopted by, you know, via the G20, obviously, by the entire world through the IMF member nations.
Mm-hmm.
A report written essentially by four guys.
Now, you guys have a little bit of noise on your line. It sounds like Darth Vader's trying to get your phone. But, Drew, do you want to comment on that? Do you know who those other people are by any chance?
I don't. I have not researched that at all. I do know that there is a tie-in, of course, to the CAFRs here in America with the world groups as well, because they're all interlinked, no doubt about that, and that's touched on by, again, Clint Richardson's documentary.
Chris, you got that on the list right there. We popped that up. It's readily available, but it is so very important considering 99.9% of the American vote, 99.99% of the American public, other than obviously the dual citizens, are totally unaware of this, any more than the billion CAFA discussion that you were having before, gentlemen. I would warrant that theoretically, if for no other reason than a really fair ringer in this whole entire discussion for these war criminals that are going to purport to have a vote for these going tomorrow, that somehow we do a serial call to WVON, that's right in the backyard of Obama, PBS over there in Chicago land, considering that seems to be the hub of all this info. I've done it before, and it seems to have really rattled their cage and done some phenomenal socio-dynamic shaking of the cage. I believe ultimately that if we are able to get this message out on WVLM locally right in their backyard, there are enough people that are concerned with what promises were made and now are obviously never to be fulfilled, that ultimately will swing this election.
Well, Bill, if I may say so, your phone is distorting. I kind of hear what you're saying, and I think it's probably a great idea, but I recommend you don't use the phone you're using right now. Okay? Don't take that the wrong way. It's just coming through really, really distorted and morphing. They haven't invented the carnival ride that produces that kind of audio yet. But again, don't take it the wrong way. Gentlemen, I'm going to have to end the show here. But Chris, you sounded good, Chris. Bill was coming through. Sort of like a phase shifter, flange, digital delay, and ring modulator all running together.
All right. Well, we'll jump off, and it was a pleasure as always. Thanks, guys. Thanks, T-Bolt. Really. I mean, obviously, we're deep into everything that you're doing.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Chris, you mentioned to Dr. Ott. Would you mention to Dr. Ott in regard to that 75% reduction on the CPU KVAR load Big Blue announced on BBC the other night?
That'll have to be on another show because we're out of time, Bill. But thanks for calling in. Okay?
Good luck. Thanks a lot.
We'll get you on the show here.
Thanks, Chris.
Right,
a lot of cool fishing again.
Thanks, Don.
Had a good time.
All right.
Good time on my fishing boat up there in Idaho.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. Chris Hoopy, host the Road Warrior radio show on Republic Broadcasting Network. And he's usually on the hour before me. So you can't miss PK's third stream view on Monday nights. But you're welcome to listen to Chris Tuesday through Friday. All right. Well, Dr. Ott, we're about out of time, but do you want to comment on what Chris said, or Bill for that matter?
I got to be frank with you, I couldn't catch anything that Bill was saying, especially the last part of it. It was just so garbled. I frankly gave me a headache. It was terrible. I caught just bits and pieces of it, so I can't comment.
Well, he mentioned WGN in Chicago and getting a sort of a grassroots kind of movement together to let people know that we know what's going on. I can't give you a verbatim description. I suggest that anybody wants that, listen to the archive.
It was pretty nasty. I don't know what was going on with that, but it was strange.
Yeah, I think I described it.
Well, you're the sound maestro. You would know how to say that.
Well, any closing remarks that you want to make about any of this stuff that we talked about tonight? Chemtrails are important. There's a lot of toxic stuff going out.
I did get a report from a friend who took some videotape of a series of chemtrails being laid down with a telescopic lens. He went to try and get a look of the plane, and it was a very bizarre, almost saucer-like craft that was laying them out, he said. I'm waiting to get video footage of that. Kind of stunning. He says it shook him up because it wasn't really aircraft that he could normally, you know, see with the telephoto lens. So I don't know. I'll have to remain judgment on that type of thing. But bizarre things are going on, no doubt about it. Chemtrail wise, the narcissist in chief is on borrowed time. America needs to be peaceful, if at all possible, in taking this country back and standing on principles of truth and honor. And it's shows like this that I think can help get the job done. So thank you, Don, for all that you do as well.
Oh, thank you for the work that you do. Now, Cliff's video is, would you repeat that website again? That's a DVD. Now, is he streaming it online, or is it just...
Yes. Yeah, you can get it's on YouTube as of today. He just sent me a notice, and I did click on it. I don't have the link to. I couldn't write it out anyway. It's just go to YouTube, and Corporation Nation is the name of the DVD.
Okay, it'd be great if you got it on Google too, because they can stream the whole thing there.
Yeah,
I don't know
if
segments or not.
You can contact him. He's just basically whatever you can donate, a dollar or whatever for replication costs. It costs something to make the discs.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants it out there completely. Copy 1,000 if you want and send them out to friends and neighbors. Flat out, it's important information in my opinion. So.
Well, and then don't forget there's going to be a surcharge on that for making that transaction.
Yeah, it's going to be. No, no, we just don't have that bill passed. It's going to be thrown out immediately.
Of course.
Okay.
Just being facetious. Well, thanks for staying up so late and sharing all this information with us. And
my pleasure.
Again, folks, Dr. Ott's website, atrueott.com. Go there to read his research or visit meminerals.com. Drew, I wish you a good night. Have a great show. Tomorrow night I'll be listening in.
Good. Thank you, Don. Good night and God bless.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our guest tonight, Dr. A. True Ott. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. And I guess we should thank Chris Hinckley and Bill from Idaho for calling in. Bill, get that phone fixed now. Over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Don and Doug Newsom, want to thank you for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when yours truly will be the host of the show and the guest, and got a lot of important information I want to tackle. So with that, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.